Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the Rumor Mill, and this is the Rumor Mill that we will be talking about WWE rumors, and we would like to mourn the loss of some people that we've lost this week.
Yo, 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 Papa 40 and check your rollies, it's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn, we're bringing it, bringing it. Hollywood, and it's crime time. You scared? You probably should. I come from the streets. I was raised in the gutter. I run up on your mother for that bread and butter. Mess around with these crooks. Get your property took. Robbing is my job. I get paid off the books. Marvin with my squadron.
I stopped it there because the racism goes on for a lot longer than it should. So anyway.
How racist was that theme song? They say
okay,
Hollywood,
wait,
this is Hollywood.
Again, so if anyone doesn't know who we are, just in case this may be your first time listening to us, hey, maybe, why not, right? I'm Matt Marrero. This is, you know, the man not exactly sitting next to me, but who is next to me in spirit is Satish Ram. Say hi, Satish.
Right, and the reason
yes.
Matt's starting off with JTG's theme song, and this is for those of you who are first-time or recent listeners, is I guess a running joke or a running mention from me is JTG and the fact that he has been employed with this company for about, it would have been about 7 years now, I think. And
it has been 7 years. 7 years and about, I think, a couple, like 2 months or something. There was a JTG timer. I swear to God, everyone.
Right, there was.
There was a
how long has JTG been employed? And it's
exactly.
Just, so it's about 7 years, under 30. And I talked about JTG being my hero in the sense that this is a guy who, under 30, has been employed by WWE for 7 years, had little to no ring work, and was still getting checks from this company. In truth of everything, it was just the ideal situation. Also, he's a hometown, you know, he's a hometown kid because he's a New Yorker like us.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was just a matter of, you know, what else could you ask for a human being to be doing?
Yeah.
And it was just this running joke, not only amongst us, but especially amongst, like, the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community,
the overall internet,
that JTG would just never be fired. And we're always making jokes about this stuff. And then comes Thursday, where we see release of some talent, and even early in the morning, the first reaction was like, oh, you know, JTG's still surviving.
Yeah,
and
no,
then,
the people made the joke, actually. JTG should not answer his phone. And as if he read the exact comments, he posts on Twitter, yo, you know, I shouldn't have answered my phone,
..
And we,
why
and
did I pick
I,
up
I
my
thought,
phone?
Yeah, why did I pick up my phone? And I thought, no, he's joking, because WWE did not put him into the official release.
No, yeah, and you tried to convince me that I shouldn't believe it, and I was sitting there like, I know this is legit. And by the next morning, you know, we had saw the post had been updated to show that JTG was one of the released. 11 people were released.
Yeah, it's just very awkward because WWE first released, first reports were 6. Remember, this wasn't WWE. This was more of, you know, like people just saying, like, yeah, 6 people have been released, right? Then
right.
The next three were, you know, were two-thirds of 3MB and Oksana. JTG was never part of the reports. He just made a Twitter post, which is what really confuses me, you know?
But the rumors were there, you know, that he was like
people. The rumors were there, yes. But it's just, I mean, now it's official, so we're only bringing it up to kind of tie it into another rumor we're about to bring up. But it's just very interesting, if only because it's just, you know, it's just, it was there. You know, like, it was there, but it was, he made a joke, you know what I mean? That's something you and I would do. You know, where we would post on Twitter. It's like,
I mean, but I
you
just,
know?
I got this feeling that because I was so upset that day anyway, and not because of anything else outside WWE, because of the fact that the guys that were released were guys that they could do things with. And I was so angry about that. Because people argue and said, oh, they had nothing for them or they weren't doing shit.
Well they didn't have
anything
for them.
If creative's not giving you shit,
exactly,
they can't magically make it out of thin air. And you can't. The guys released, I think, off the top of my head. I'm going to see if I can do this without looking at the list. The first 6, I think, were Yoshitatsu and Evan Bourne, which really hurt me. And I mean that sincerely. Like, Yoshitatsu and Evan Bourne. I'll go on that later on. But Camacho and Brodus Clay.
Yes.
And I don't know if I can pick on the other two off the top of my head. I know that then we had 3MB, Jinder Mahal and Drew McIntyre. And we had Mark Harris, the referee, and JTG.
Yes.
Boy. Oh, Kurt Hawkins was one of them.
Thank you, yes. And then the last one, the reason why you didn't think about him, playa, is because you didn't hear about Tag Team.
Oh, right, Theodore Long.
Yes, yes, who obviously had more of a backstage role.
I sent you the picture of WWE. Teddy Long mode, tag match, tag match, tag match. One-on-one with the Undertaker.
Yeah. As if I would have played WWE 14, Teddy Long mode. That was the picture.
So that's the set of releases, by the way.
Also, along with a referee, an African-American referee.
Yeah, Mark Harris.
Commenters on Cage Side tell me wasn't that good. I never really noticed anything wrong, but, I mean, I was never really... I have to say this. When you're watching a wrestling match, it's sometimes hard to focus on the referee. I'll put that out there. Maybe our listeners could agree to that.
I'll give you that much, because I'm not going to sit there and try to analyze the referee's failures if there's something blatant, like when Evabot was being the ref, and it just didn't seem natural to me.
That's the only thing that I thought.
Right?
That's the only difference
like,
that I
it didn't fit. So
when
you have these guys reffing, I mean, if there's something wrong with their counts, if they're making issues with just their motions and stuff, I'm glad you guys catch on it. That's not something I always catch. I will openly admit to that. You know,
if he
had to be fired, so be that.
Yes. So those were the releases, right? You know,
yeah,
the one that you mentioned,
guys and
11,
Gal.
And Gal, yes. And of course, before we move on, you know, just a little bit here, because, you know, of course you want to rant about it.
I do.
Yeah. Let's both rant. I mean, I think the issue is that some people, and not all, but I'll just say some people, you know, forget that there's an indie scene and forget that these people have had training when they've been brought up and just overall feel as if, well, the reason why they were in that position is because they were, you know, they were shitty. And I'll admit, when you look at Oksana and you look at Brodus Clay, in my opinion, all right, fair enough, you know, good point, right?
But yeah, I mean, let's roll down the plan here. Let's say we've got 11, right?
Sure,
let's
leave
Mark Harris and Teddy Long out of the conversation, because Mark Harris being the referee, Teddy Long, the reports show that he was on his way out anyway, and he was towards the end of his career. So, you know, congratulations to you, Theodore Long, for everything you've contributed to WWE, and wish you well. So that leaves down to 9, starting with, let's say, Oksana and Brodus Clay. And Brodus, I agree with you, where it just his ring work was lacking, and he didn't seem like he put in enough work in terms of what they wanted him to do with his body.
Exactly.
Right?
And I'll admit, I don't know what else he could have done, because just like when you look at someone like Bray Wyatt, maybe that's just his build to a certain degree.
Yeah, see, as a sports nerd, right? I can make a lot of analogies here that you may not get. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but like basically...
No, I won't.
Brodus Clay, it's like when you look at, let's say you look at someone who's playing basketball, right? And you see this 7-foot-tall built kid, and you're like, man, he could play basketball, but we have to teach him to play basketball. That's what, you know, you look at Brodus Clay, and you're like, man, that guy looks menacing. He looks like a monster heel, but we have to teach him to wrestle. And his wrestling was very limited. He looked the part, and you could argue that you could use him as a bodyguard or lower-level monster heel kind of thing.
Right.
But I can't get too frustrated because I didn't see much improvement in his ring work. And while I liked him as a comedy act and I thought that was fun, it is what it is.
No, I agree. And I think that, it's funny because while I'm not as angry, I will also admit that I will say that even though, yes, I understand why they let him go, but now that you mention it that way, this is definitely another mishandling. Because, he could have been, as weird as this sounds, you look at Goldberg, you look at his streak, right? But if he was also given the bodyguard role, you wouldn't have bat an eye. You know, the guy who's just, all right, I hired this guy to protect me. Well, he looks like he could kick my ass. Yeah, Brodus Clay could have been that guy as well. Oh, I hired this guy to protect me. Well, that, you know what? Fair point.
Brodus was scheduled to receive the Hall of Pain gimmick that Mark Henry got.
Yes, exactly. That's what I have heard as well. And sadly, he didn't because Mark Henry kind of came back into the swing of things, and then, you know,
and you know what?
It
did
put
Mark Henry better, I'm not going to lie.
It did. But, yeah, so in my opinion, it would fit a veteran better.
Yeah. So
but
now
anyway.
we're cut down to 7. So let's go off
right.
the bat. Kurt Hawkins was not, although we love him, was not used. I mean,
no. I have to be honest with you. I jumping back into wrestling in the last 2 years, and I'm not even aware of who Kurt Hawkins is, and I think that's a pretty upsetting thing.
He used to be
Sorry
one
to
of
that.
Edge's cronies.
Okay.
He was basically a lackey twice. That's basically all his usage in WWE. And
so he went so far.
It's just tough because, I personally did not invest myself so much in Curt Hawkins like I did with, like, say, Bourne or Tatsu. So I
right.
can't sit there and argue for him. But I know that he was one of the darlings of the IWC because he was talented. And, again, it's just if there are no venues for you to express your talent, it's kind of hard. You know, like, there's always a break needed where you look at some guys and it's like, man, like, could Curt Hawkins immediately got signed somewhere, by the way, and I'm not sure, Pro Wrestling Syndicate or something?
Yes.
Right. One of the indies. He immediately got
mm-hmm.
signed, like, the day of, which I think is, like, testament to how high other people view him, you know, where...
Yeah, and it should really show you how, you know, again, some people are just trying to say, oh, yeah, they were bad. No, they weren't given the opportunity because now, all of a sudden, and it's not just because of his credit because, I mean, no one can just argue that, you know, oh, well, he was a WWE guy. You know, Oksana was, and I don't see her getting actual ring work anytime soon other than,
no,
you know, valet work.
No, she would be
work.
A great model, valet,
And we say model
star.
Because, and we say, I know you joke phones porn star, but I say model or valet mostly
you
because...
You think I'm kidding?
I didn't say that. Fair enough. I would disagree in terms of, I mean, remember, she has to act. But the thing is with the model
how
work,
how much of
I,
porn have you watched?
Enough that I like ones with story, you know, that really go in-depth into their lives. Like,
that's
like imagine
the amount of
Game of Thrones
needed.
With porn. Imagine porn Game of Thrones. What am I saying? Never mind. Just imagine Game of Thrones. But anyway... But seriously,
joke.
all jokes aside, though, I think that she would do great at modeling work or valet work, if only because she can't hurt another human being.
No,
and
honestly,
sport,
take her sauna and put her
you
in those Telemundo ads. I swear
yeah.
she would be perfect.
I just realized, though, the reason why your porn example can't work is because there's a chance she may hurt another human being.
That's hilarious,
let's really
and I will
her,
accept that.
Let's get her out of any kind of work with other people that we can.
How did
we?
You break his penis? That's not even scientifically possible. Well, she just dropped her knee in the wrong place, sir, and I guess that's what happened.
That,
since she seems to have an issue with knees. But
that's also fairly accurate.
Leaving
anyway,
Kwana
so,
in the dust.
Right.
Camacho, I don't know, what do you think of Camacho? You see
here's the
little
thing.
Bits.
I have not seen that much of him. However, what gets me, though, is the fact that, when you look at Yoshitatsu, at the very least, he hasn't been used in NXT in a while, right? So
even though
we talk about, you know, creative stuff, he hasn't been used. So you want to let him go silently, even though we won't let it happen? Okay. Camacho was actually used in NXT fairly recently, to the point where I don't even watch NXT that much, but from the little bits that I've seen, he's had character, he's come back, he's been doing things. So
he's feuded with Adam Rose
opinion,
and Adam Rose's posse up to the last pay-per-view, where Adam Rose beat him, which was pretty recent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the very least, you know, when you look at someone, let's say, like Brodus Clay, he was given a second chance, they didn't like his second chance, he's gone. You know, Camacho looked like I didn't hear anyone saying, like, oh, he's boring or, oh, he's bad. I never heard anything really bad about Camacho. I think it came down to something that we'll be talking about fairly soon. Because
I think Camacho was a cap casualty, which we'll definitely talk about, where he didn't suck, but he didn't stand out. And I guess that's it, where he was given a recent opportunity and he didn't stand out. And he didn't stand out to me. So I'm not going to be the one who sits here and argues for Camacho. I'm sorry.
No. Bourne. Now we bring up Bourne. I know you're a big
fan.
Yeah,
so who's left? We've got the
Bourne,
2 and 3 and B, and Bourne and Tatsu.
Yes, Tatsu. So Bourne, here's the thing. I understand why you're a fan of Bourne, as am I, but his injuries, again, another casualty of just, listen, you're not here to work as much. We need to get you out.
Okay, see, here's the thing for me, though, and this will tie into what we talk about later with the cap and money. As a guy, I like looking for redemption projects, okay? And
yes.
This happens a lot in sports where you'll sign the guy who has been injury prone with a world of potential and you just take a flyer on him because you've got so much money in the pot that, like, it's just a drop in the bucket, you know?
Right,
so
right.
Argumentatively, you would think extending Evan Bourne for another year and giving him a chance to actually wrestle again may actually work for you because when healthy, Evan Bourne is a very talented performer. And
I agree.
You know,
I agree. I just think that with
you're
what
right
okay.
in terms of like it's a what have you done for me lately business.
And sadly, I would also like to mention that with the people that they want to currently sign into NXT that they're looking to get are probably so athletic that they're thinking if we get this guy out, we're still going to get what could be a Evan Bourne replacement. Not saying that there really is one, but that's, again, WWE standpoint. They could think that that's what we're trying to do here. Like, okay, we push the guy who's been injured a lot out, and let's take a risk on a new guy who isn't really new because they're from the indies, you know? Very rarely now are they just bringing guys in that from scratch anymore. You know, it's mostly, you know, you can see that there's mostly these indie guys that people enjoy that are being signed and brought into WWE.
Yeah, we've got right? Prince Devitt, Kenta, and Kevin Steen on the horizon for WWE.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, I see your point there. I guess it just kind of hurts because I liked Evan Bourne while he was here. And anyone who can execute a, like, perfect shooting star press with consistency at that height is on my good side.
Right. So now we have three left. Two of these guys anger me more than anything. I'm sure maybe you as well, at least for one. Let's talk about Yoshitatsu. Again, not too long, but it's pretty upsetting, I would say as much. Because you have this guy who, I mean, he was on ECW. You know, I mean, I hate to say that I was his peak, but he was on the main roster. You know, he's in WWE 13. Why could he have not excelled? Why could he have not been, you know, I understand maybe not world heavyweight, sadly, but why could he have not had a better career than he had with the amount of work he could put in? You know, I really truly believe that someone backstage didn't like him because maybe they heard about the Sheamus incident and politics got involved, and he got pushed down faster than you can say Ted DiBiase Jr., you know?
Yeah,
and
no,
that's a problem.
Tatsu and Justin Gabriel were always my pet projects. You know, these were the guys that I thought had the world of talent and nothing given to them. And it sucked.
Yeah.
So with Tatsu, he was given such a limited chance, and I say chance liberally because it really wasn't a chance, to exhibit himself. And he looked good. You know, he has an excellent martial arts background. He seems to work hard and has an actual real-life fighting background, as evidenced by the fact that he kicked Sheamus's ass.
In real life. You know, and I think the thing, too, is that, you know, and I say this, you know, not to be a network pusher, but I mean this. When it gets to it, you're going to see him on the network, and you're going to think, damn, why did they not give this guy a push? And it's so true. I mean, they need... I hate to say this, but they you know, because I don't want to just promote people based on their ethnicity, but I do think that they need to push some people who are of different races and do this because they are talented, not just
because
they are great.
That was also a thing that I didn't even know if I wanted to touch on, but since you brought it up, I'll go with it.
Slightly, just slightly.
We don't have that many Asian wrestlers anymore.
We don't.
And we've had some names over the years. We had two I love, by the way, Tajiri. We had Tajiri.
Of course.
We had Funaki.
Right.
We had... If you go back, Taka Michinoku, you know.
Yes,
but
of course.
Taka rare and far between. And these guys, even if they frequented the tag and, like, light heavyweight intercontinental division, they were up there and allowed to do things, and they worked with a certain market. You know, and Tatsu could basically go back to New Japan Pro Wrestling and do great right now because he is good at what he does.
Exactly.
So, but it just hurts me because he could have been good for us.
Yes, and also the fact that, in my opinion, they were being held back in a way that, I mean, they're going to do very well right now, and they're going to have some great careers, so I'm not weeping for any of them. It just upsets me, if only because, like you said, they could have been great for us, and they've been, in a way, held back and held down for a while. Not in a way that'll really dilute them as a, you know, as a competitor for some, maybe not the next two, it might be a bit diluted, but for Yoshitatsu, at least, you know, he could have been doing a lot of cool things for a lot of great indie crowds that could have, you know, paid, cheap money to see an amazing athlete, where they expected people to, you know, to pay a lot of money in the WWE to see an amazing athlete lose and not really either show his skills or pay to not even see this guy because he would rarely ever show up, at least on our TV screens.
Yeah, and here's the last thing on Tatsu for me, too, where, and I didn't even make a joke about his theme song, which if you haven't heard Yoshitatsu's theme song, look it up immediately because it is one of the most entertaining things on the planet. That being said, on a serious note, it looks bad on an American wrestling company when they handle their most recent Asian star like that.
Yes,
know
exactly.
What I mean? Where I'm not saying Yoshitatsu is Kenta, where their management of Kenta is going to go a long way in terms of how they look to the Asian market. But this is a company that has not had much of an Asian presence for a while. And you look at how they've handled Yoshitatsu, which is badly, and you think, well, how many of them really are going to want to come over? Because not only are they handling minorities pretty badly, they're handling a lot of any of these low carders or some of the indie people badly. You know,
right.
Where it's just a hit or miss, where you could get lucky like Daniel Bryan, or you could get screwed around with like Sami Zayn and held back for like a year longer than he's needed to be. Or
yeah.
Some people like Cassius Ohno, you just don't jive with the way WWE is. And while that may be a work ethic thing, that might be a pride thing, slowly but surely some of the dark clouds are starting to kind of form around WWE, and I think the way they handle
exactly.
these things.
Yes.
So,
also, I'd like to add, if you want to talk to us about any of these rumors, please call in. The number is 718-664-9468. The number, again, being 718-664-9468. Now, to just quickly, you know, wrap this up, I mean, talking about the two guys who, you know, we're really sad to see them gone. Wrap up to move on to another rumor. You know, we're really sad to see them gone. Two halves of 3MB, Drew McIntyre and Jinder Mahal. Personally, I thought that you might be as upset as I am about Drew McIntyre, who could have had it all, but because of backstage things, something that I think shouldn't have really held them back that much, pulled him down so fast and so hard. I mean, just poor guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. I mean, that's the thing with McIntyre. And you can delve into the backstage stuff if you want, for those of people who don't know about it.
Yeah, just a little, you know, quick thing. Basically, he and his wife had some arguments that kind of got into the media. And what's funny is that this isn't a case of Matt Hardy where you think, Drew McIntyre, that abusive bastard. No, actually. His wife, according to, you know, people at the time, is a little bit off. You know, a little bit
what
crazy.
Was her ring name Tiffany or her ring name Taryn?
Yeah, her ring name was Tiffany with the WWE, yes. And when I say crazy, I mean as if it would be as if, okay, you look at a situation like AJ was a bit crazy with, it's kind of funny, when she was, she's still dating Punk, but she, there was an incident where one of Punk's friends or something in real life, a female, said something that got Punk a little bit upset, and the rumors are that AJ went up, stormed right up to this girl and said, you know, very crazy things to her. But hey, this girl wasn't in, you know, the WWE, right? This woman, it was actually a newscaster that, you know, was being yelled at by AJ. It's a bit different if, let's say, AJ went up to Vince McMahon or went up to someone in power and started having hissy fits, right, with them, as well as her husband. Mind you, this is all happening backstage. You know, some of this stuff is getting into the media light. You know, she's having arguments with her husband and, you know, and having some drinking problems and other, I believe it was drinking problems, yes? You know, like just basically some substance
mm-hmm.
abuse issues. Yeah, basically, it didn't look well for Drew McIntyre. And it was at the point where he could have, if things had lined up better for him, we could have had a one-time or maybe even two-time, or again, at least one-time, Drew McIntyre WWE champion.
Yeah, I mean, he was branded by Vince McMahon himself as the chosen one. That's where this joke, as he being the chosen
yeah.
one, comes from.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks because of the fact that, all right, so Drew gets into this backstage stuff. It sucks. They push him down. So what does he do? He works hard. He dedicates himself. You put him in 3MB. He frickin' tries. He does well in the ring. He dedicates himself to his character. And this almost goes for Jinder, too, you know, in a way. Because I'm not going to sit there and fight for Jinder as much. But it's like,
no.
What do you expect the guys to do when you put them in a gimmick that puts them on the low card and they lose, but they do it well? You know what I mean? Like, everyone enjoyed 3MB. And, yes, Slater was probably the most talented out of that group. But
yeah. It's upsetting.
What are they
going to
do?
Because
McIntyre could be a plausible champion in TNA. And I mean that without
not
joking,
even TNA.
You know?
I think if GFW, a Global Force Wrestling by Jeff Jarrett, actually
becomes
a really
big
thing,
that too, because
he can jump right in there. He can jump right in there and become their champion.
These
but anyway.
Guys could go to, to Global Force Wrestling and do things. If Global Force Wrestling doesn't bomb.
Yeah, but before we move on, we have a caller. Right before, I would like to say one little thing, because we know this caller. Hello, Daniel. Hopefully you're listening while you're sitting on there. So anyway, it feels as if WWE is becoming a type of caste system. All jokes aside, not you know, trying to make Indian jokes with gender, but seriously, it's just you cannot move up. You know, they put you there and you're done. There's no upward mobility available. You know, there's no way of repackaging. There's no, even though there's supposed to be, there's no way of higher upward mobility. If you're branded as funny, that's it. You know, if Mick Foley debuted today, he would have never been the WWF, you know, well, technically WWE champion or World Heavyweight champion, any of those combined, you know. No, he would have just been the funny guy. Hey, look, it's the funny guy doing funny squeaky voices, and then he never would have gotten that shot. That's how I feel.
And WWE almost is afraid of change. And you know, thank yous, you'll probably put through Daniel right after this. But it seems like they're afraid of change because look at Daniel Bryan and John Cena, right?
Right.
And hello, Daniel. I hope you're having a good night. You look at the way they've treated Daniel Bryan, right? And
right.
how much it took to put him on a new path. And then you look at John Cena and what he's been doing for the better part of maybe 7 to 8 years, right? And it just shows how afraid they are of change and deviating from the ideas they have set for some people. And how
I'm confused. Having a heavy muscled, you know, bigger white man dominating the WWE at the top, I believe that's a load of change compared to the other guy.
No.
And then the guy before him.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
I'm so sorry. I broke you, Satish. I'm so sorry.
No, but what triggered your call in, Daniel? Did you hear something that piqued your interest?
Well, I was going to talk to you about the whole firings thing.
We have 4 minutes to play with. Talk to us. What do you have to say?
We have 4 minutes to play with.
First, congratulations, Satish. Your boy won the championship. Second. Yeah, this is there's some names on there I expected to see, but I'm like the one I was really upset about was Evan Bourne. I'm like, dang it.
Assuming because he didn't really get much of an opportunity, or
yeah, there was pretty much like no, he had the opportunity, he just threw it away.
Really?
Yeah.
You're upset about the synthetic weed stuff.
Yeah, I was upset
about
that.
Right.
Because it really, I feel like that wasn't a big deal, and like it should have been a big. He did violate the health code, but he just got a bad break literally when he broke his ankle.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, I forgot to mention. Yes, he did break the wellness violation by having synthetic weed because you know you aren't allowed to be on any type of drugs unless you're John Cena. All jokes aside, John Cena is not allowed to be on any drugs, but we just assume that he is because of his recovery time of, you know, 2 months. But anyway, he's not supposed to be on any kind of drugs or anything. That's why you'll have someone like RVD appear for 6 months. All jokes aside, he probably has a featured contract, and in a featured contract, which is rumored that John Cena has, you know, you are able to do things that you're not supposed to in a normal contract. Someone, let's say, versus, you know, Fandango, who's there year-round, not able to drink or smoke or... I mean, drink, yes, but, you know, there's also certain restrictions, obviously. So,
yeah.
You're not, you know, so, again, you were, you know, so we... so he broke that, and of course you mentioned, Daniel, that was bad. But then he also broke his leg. And in my opinion, that's just, again, like you said, he got a really bad break, you know? But
yes.
any of them else on the list that kind of, you know, shook you down? I mean, personally, I know Satish and I are mourning both JTG and
JTG is gone! That doesn't make sense!
Because, of course, it makes perfect sense. They weren't making money because they wasn't doing anything.
That's
the thing.
That's why he was my hero. Why would they cut down my hero in the first firing session after I call him my hero? They're listening, and they hate me.
Wait.
Okay.
I saw JTG's last match. I think I did.
What was his last match? In the year 2008?
No, it was in the year 2012.
Oh, so who did he job out to?
No, he didn't job out. He actually won a dark match against David Otunga.
That is hilarious. So in theory, he has the streak right now. In theory.
Yeah, he's one in bow.
Oh.
Yeah.
He has an undefeated streak. That's my job to make those jokes, Satish. No, but seriously, not so seriously, but I personally think that they haven't done these in a while, actually, right? So if they had done this, you know, if they had done this continuously, I hate to say this, you know, I'm really sad to say this, they probably would have cut JTG a bit sooner, I feel. But they haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, they didn't cut him because Linda was still. It wouldn't look good on Linda when she was running for the.
Yes, those are some rumors that we've heard where they, for a while, for a few years now, have just let superstars' contracts run out. You know, and again, I don't know what JTG has done for the company, but I mean, hey, you mentioned it, Daniel, something that we've also mentioned on the show that many people don't realize. We even took us a while to really think about dark matches, you know, things that no one even sees, no one even knows that, you know, on television. I mean, you know, things like that where, I mean, even a Superstars match is technically considered a dark match because Superstars is filmed before Monday Night Raw as Main Event is filmed before SmackDown. So you'll have, you know, you'll have these matches occur that no one will even think about, which is why WWE has more people than they can handle from what we can see, because they have a lot of room for dark matches and, you know, house shows and just people will be thrown on to be jobbed out to Rusev. Hey, JTG may have been jobbed out to Rusev and we didn't even know.
Well, at least he got saved by that.
Yeah, right? He couldn't have been jobbed to Rusev because he was fired. Thank you, WWE. You're very diverse. Thank you. But Daniel, thank you for calling in. You know, happy to have you talk about, you know, the rumors. And definitely keep on listening because we have a lot more to talk about tonight. All right?
We are the champions.
All right. Cool. So, speaking of people getting fired, I'm sure you know, but maybe the listeners don't know why these people were fired. Well, rumor has it that
because
the reason why they
me.
Were fired. Well, not just, first off, that's not a rumor, that's a fact. They actually hate Satish Ram. But the rumor is that because of the way the network has been underperforming, right? Not the network's fault, by the way, just my opinion. Because the network has been underperforming, you know, via the amount of subscribers that they don't have, there had to be some cuts. And there had to be some, you know, trimming some fat, if you will. And it's just funny because, yeah, the network is not doing well. You know, the numbers aren't out officially what they currently are right now, but there are actually rumors that they've declined. The numbers have gone down, even though there's a six-month subscription period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the reason why is actually a very interesting one. Apparently, I've heard this has been changed, but in the beginning I've heard, you know, that this could happen. If you're, let's say you're using a debit card, right? And you only have $20, and you make the commitment. They take out 10 months every single month. So you're making a commitment, but you're not pushing 60 right away, right? So what will happen is that, you know, let's say you use 2 months worth of the network. By the third month, when they charge you, they realize your debit card doesn't have anything on it. You may have just forgotten because you actually like the network. You want to put more money on it. They immediately cut your account. And then when you try to pay again and you call them and say, hey, my network was cut, they say, oh, okay, you're going to have to re-sign on, though, for another six-month commitment. And for some, they've just said, I don't want to get back on. Or for others, they just used it for 2 months, let's say for WrestleMania, then they get cut off, and hey, WWE just assumes, whatever, we're cutting them out of our lives, you know, whatever. But they're not being held accountable for their actions. So if your debit card runs out and, you know, and you're not being billed on it anymore, then technically your contract is canceled. The subscription goes down. That's a major issue. I mean, you know what else is a major issue, Satish?
Go for it.
More than one person using an account. And I'm not saying that I haven't done that. I'm not. Because it's hard out there. But you know what? It becomes a problem, though. When more than two people, you know, when three or four,
see,
or five.
I'm not even
going
to sit there and argue
yeah.
that that's a bad thing, though. Because if they wanted that to be part of it, they could have implicated things that made it so only one person could use the account at one time.
Well, Netflix doesn't even have that, though.
Exactly.
Actually.
Because they know it's a horrible business decision.
But the thing is, though, is that here's the thing, though. It's smart for WWE. For Netflix, they can get by, I feel. For WWE, they need to make this immediately because, okay, let's say, okay, 4 million people watch Monday Night Raw. Let's pretend that 4 million people could have actually bought the network. Let's just pretend, right?
Yeah.
4 million watch Monday Night Raw. You get two doing it, you know, two getting each one. That cuts down to 2 million. Let's say that 1 million aren't going to get it ever. That cuts down to 1 million. Right there. So we have 1 million people that potentially should be getting the network, right? But mm-hmm. let's say that it's not two people each. Maybe it's three. Maybe it's four. Because any amount of people, it's scary that we've actually tested it to be idiots. A large amount of people who are just, and only one is buying the network. A large amount of people could be, hell, they could be, you could have six people splitting the network, paying $10 for that six-month commitment. One paying, you know, each paying $10 for
but
each month.
But you're also forgetting that that also could be what they could afford. Where, let's, you and I basically share this network account, right?
Right, right.
Because over the
right
6 month
now.
Commitment, over that 6 month yes. commitment, it is financially, I can do that.
Right.
If I would have had to commit 6 months on my own to this thing, I may not have been able to get it. So
but,
there's no guarantee that their numbers would actually go up.
Fair point, fair point. But what I have to say, though, is that here's the thing, though. Their numbers could still be potentially higher because of how many people. Because let's say, I'm from a very large Hispanic family, right? Let's say, I do have some wrestling fans in my family. They haven't really talked about the network with me. I mean, they might not even be fans anymore. They might have just been, you know, older casual fans. But if I told them about the network, I could easily let them use it. And that's a third person right there. That's another $10. You know, again, for some, maybe they can't afford it. But for others, I feel as if they're trying to pinch pennies in all the wrong ways, because then all of a sudden when there is no WWE network, we get all the complaints. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. You know, well, maybe it's because you were sharing the account with – because, hey, I'll be honest. If it's two people, you know, it's bad, obviously, because if everyone's doing it. But if it's two people, okay. But the fact that more than two can use it worries me. The fact that the fact that there isn't, like, a six-person, like, per – or, like, up to, you know, like, maybe they have, like, a – because I believe Netflix does say, even though a lot of people can use it,
it's two
at
one
there
time.
Is a, okay, that, and I also believe, not for the network, though, but for Netflix.
No, for Netflix, because if more than two people are
okay.
using it on different devices,
right.
you
right.
can't get in. And
okay, that's smart, then.
And that's fine. The network can adapt to something like that. And I think they are doing something like that, by the way, because I think it's like maybe three people can actively use it at once, at the same time.
Okay,
but.
That would make sense then. But at first, though, I remember that we've mentioned, you know, like I believe it was a WrestleMania thing where we were testing it out, and it was actually very, in my opinion,
I do think things have changed since then.
I would hope so. I would only, sadly, we haven't done a test like that in a while. But that's still, I find that frightening. I do, because it makes you think, all right, then who's, you know, like how many people can really get on this thing and use it and feel as if, because here's the thing. Yes, I will admit that one being down is an issue, but what if more people, if put in the position of, damn, I can't leech, you know, how can I actually afford this, you know, for $10
a month? That's the thing, too. If it also seems less appealing when you're doing it for yourself, because me getting it with you and Ashley, you know, I treat you and Ashley as a couple, like as one entity.
That's
when
why,
I talk
because
about
the thing,
this, right?
She and I would have gotten it together.
Yeah.
You know,
so let's say you got that,
yeah.
right? Then I debate the benefits of this, and do I really need this? Do I really want this? Do you understand?
Right.
Where, like,
right.
beyond the whole effort of can I afford this, it's now, is this the luxury that I want to use my money on, or do I want to use it on something else? And if I'm one of those older fans that we originally thought it was so great for the network to appeal to, right?
Right.
If the current product sucks, after that first 6 months, they're not renewing. Because you can easily binge watch the
yes.
old pay-per-views, the old Raws.
Yeah.
And if they
yeah.
don't update at the speed that you're hoping they are, and they are updating, kudos to them for doing that much.
Oh, yeah.
But
yes.
if they're not updating at the speed that you're expecting, or they're not updating the things that you want to watch, you know, it doesn't seem as appealing, especially if you're doing it on your own. You know, so I think that they're actually,
you know,
the issue here for me is the crux of it is that the current product is going to suck, and if the current product sucks, then you're going to be screwed.
Here's the thing. Honestly, even with the current product sucking, if I said, let me leave the product for a while, I could actually live off of the old stuff as a guy who, obviously, you know, I'm 21 years old. I haven't
You
seen,
could.
You know,
for
I,
about
but here's
the six-month span.
Actually, no. See, here's the issue I feel. I could, but here's the thing. They do need to upload them faster. I believe before the head of their media department, who was working with the network, got fired, they were uploading things at a very nice pace. Now, it's getting to the point where it's a bit of a snail's pace.
Is that who got fired, by the way?
Yes.
The head of the
and
media department. Because I know we discussed
or
this in passing.
I say media. I will admit, I only, the guy who was helping them with their network. So if they have a network division, that was the guy who was fired. Basically, the guy that helps put content onto the network. He was not uploading things as fast as Vince wanted to, so he sacked him. They sacked him, which is the rumor. An issue being because of the fact that now I don't see things being put on as fast. So great job, Vince. You know, it's just he wasn't doing it fast enough. Let's take him down. But he was doing something. Screw it. We don't need him. Vince McMahon, everyone. Thumbs up. So now, because, and I've seen, again, they put up a lot of, let's say, look at ECWs, right? By the way, when I say ECW, I mean old school ECW.
ECW, right, not new CW.
No. We've gotten a lot more of them, but they've become stagnant. Clash of the Champions, an older WCW like type of, like, when you think of Madison Square Garden shows, that's basically what it was for WCW. Those have become a bit stagnant. Madison Square Garden, some here and there, maybe they don't have good footage for all of them, but some here or there being thrown up. The last one being from 1991, actually a bit before Monday Night Raw became a thing, because obviously before Monday Night Raw, Madison Square Garden. Those have become stagnant. You know, they've Monday Night Raws themselves, they've gotten to 1992. All of 1991 is up on the network if you want to watch original Monday Night Raw, the first year ever. Right? But they've gotten to 1992, they've gotten half the year down, now it's getting slower. You know, that's becoming an issue. It's getting a lot slower. And they really need to pick up the pace. Because while they have a Raw from almost every year, and they have a few new SmackDowns from, certain years, not as a really way to bridge any gaps, just as a way to think, oh, these were really cool moments, let's put them on. They still don't have the Attitude Era up yet. That is a huge problem. I mean, I would even argue that if you want to just, after 1992 is done, drop and jump right into the Attitude Era and forget those few years for this current moment, I would actually push for that, you know? As much as it's great to put them in order, you need the Attitude Era immediately. That should, in my opinion, that should have been there upon startup. I know they didn't want to, like, burn everyone out, but Attitude Era stuff should have been started first, on startup. You know?
Yeah,
where,
well, first off, that's a great point. Because that's definitely your bread and butter. You need to get that
over.
But and if anyone's out there wondering, like, why are we debating this so much? Why are we harping so much on the network? Well, very simply, if you haven't made the connection, these cuts that they made recently are representative of the fact that the WWE financially is not doing as well as they'd like to be.
Yeah, I mentioned that a bit, but, definitely expand on that.
And, like, financially they're not doing so well because of the fact that, as Matt had brought up, the network is not performing the way they expected it to. And this is a big thing because they invested millions of dollars into the network. And it began a downfall when they released their first subscriber numbers, which I think was like 670,000, let's say, or something like that.
They were supposed to
have closer to 1 million at the time. And that was a huge thing, where although they tried to salvage it, the stock dropped from what was a record high. It dropped huge.
It dropped Vince McMahon
from billionaire to mere millionaire again. And yes, laugh if you will. But that's a huge thing. Because it was a huge, I think it was like what, maybe $300 to $400 million dropped in terms of what he was, if not more. And that's a huge thing. That's a lot of money, and the stock plummeted. And while they're salvaging it, because the product has been a little bit better lately, and I mean very lately, it's a very gray area for them to be in, where they have the money and the ability to make these mistakes and have a gray area because they have a monopoly on the wrestling business, especially the televised wrestling business.
Right.
However, I don't know. Like, if this Global Force Wrestling thing that Jeff Jarrett has brought up gets any head of steam behind it, it could be interesting, because WWE made a big risk with this network, thinking high risk, high reward. And logically, it was supposed to pay off.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not yet. And
well,
there are many reasons behind that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I do think that it'll be probably pay, if it can last, I hate to say these words, but if it can last till the next WrestleMania, I think that it'll be a nice upward trend. However, what they really need is, first off, I think I think that the fact that cable providers and Dish satellite, the fact that they kept on with certain pay-per-views, I think that actually hurt the WWE more, Because
okay,
I think we have.
I don't think I got this off the bat.
Okay. First off, when Dish Network first said things like, we're not going to carry elimination, you know, we're not going to carry these pay-per-views. Well, then, great job, because they have nowhere else to go but the network, you freaking idiots, right? But now it's turned into, oh, we'll carry certain ones, and they've carried a few. They've carried Battleground. They carried, you know, they've carried Payback. I mean, so the fact that they're still kind of continuing with this really kind of hurts the WWE, because when you have people thinking, because, okay, I hate to, you know, I hate to not put faith in the human race, you know, but I'm not. You know, when people have the choice, they would rather pay. I mean, you know, you look at some, you know, some examples, some anecdotes where I'm sure you can talk to either, you know, your family members, and you'll say to them, hey, you know, this phone bill is, you know, it's a lot of money. You're paying $100 for your current phone plan. Do we even use the data? Is that when I use the Wi-Fi in my house? No, that's when you go out and you use it when you're, you know, at the grocery store or something. Oh, I don't use it for that. All right, they should probably get rid of that and maybe even save more money. No, I don't want to. I like what I have right now, currently. So I can bet you that there are a lot of people that are just sitting there thinking, I like the pay-per-view plan I currently have, and will actually dump $100 in 2 months, or more, depending on the current price of pay-per-views in HD, rather than put $10 a month on the network and then have to deal with computers. Because I can bet you money, there are people out there thinking, but I have to watch it on my computer. Still, even though the WWE actually, in their tutorial videos that we've seen, that we skipped through with the Bellas, they have not actually made it clear that you can have something called an HDMI cable that you can plug into your laptop or into your home computer to put into your television, depending on how new it is. You know, but even then, people are buying newer and newer TVs that are just having these in their televisions that you can then watch on your TV. You know?
Right, and then there's me, who watches the network through their PS3.
Exactly. If you have a child, you know, if you have anyone who has a PS3, or I believe the Xbox One now has it, and or any other devices, you can attach them into your television or just have them. It's mind-boggling that, you know, certain people, but they haven't made the jump, and that's a huge problem because cable providers are still actually, you know, providing these pay-per-views, and people are just unwilling to change. Honestly, if this doesn't work right now, I blame WWE for the reasons we've already mentioned, but I blame the fans. I hate to say that. I blame the people who are just saying, you know, oh yeah, you know, who would rather spend $50 a month on their kid rather than actually giving them this for $10 a month. And
see,
maybe
I think
just having
a negligible part
that.
Of the market, though.
Explain.
If I was running a business, I would argue that amount of people would be so small that they would be negligible. And they'd also be paying for my pay-per-views anyway, so it wouldn't be that painful.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You'd argue that they're paying. But remember how much the WWE gets from pay-per-view versus from currently with what they're putting on the line with the network. And I will admit, yes, you can say it's a small amount, but still, parent with small child, that's not a small amount. And in my opinion, the parents, for many, not all, but for many, aren't really that tech savvy. Again,
I think you're severely overestimating the amount of people who fall in that bracket, in my opinion. Because
I probably have some really bad experiences.
You're right in your classification. I know that there are people like that, but WWE is still getting money from them. So I think they would just sit there and be like, "Hey, we're getting money from their idiot selves anyway."
But they need that money to be geared toward the network, not towards buying pay-per-view on cable.
If at this point, with all the tech shit they have shoved down the throat of anyone watching the product, the painfully stupid WWE app crap, if they haven't got that, they're probably never going to get them.
Well, it's okay. Well, I argue, and then again, this is probably still a very small part. I argue that parents aren't watching it with their children. So if you have a 4-year-old...
But arguably, I figure those kids would get that, and I don't think the kids are so young that they... I think the ones that really watch wrestling are at least like 8 to 10. And I swear 8 to 10-year-olds these days are pretty goddamn smart. And they would have figured it out already.
Okay, 8 to 10, they'd probably be buying the network themselves. With their own money.
I don't think 5 to 7, I know they have access to it.
Right,
but I don't think it's as big a bracket as it may have used to be. Because, I don't know. It doesn't strike me as like 5-year-olds are watching John Cena. I always think like 7 to 10, maybe 7 at the earliest, you know?
Okay, okay, fair point, fair point. But either way, I mean, okay, so if we're putting this back on the WWE, what do you think before, you know, having sadly to wrap up this this edition of the Rumor Mill, what would you argue that the WWE needs to do better to, you know, to try to get their network out there more?
Fire Kevin Dunn and create a better current product, because at
good
some
point.
Point, all of this is going to catch up to the current product.
Yes.
And there are aspects of the current product, NXT being the shining jewel of that, that are very watchable and very entertaining. But
right.
at some point, and I mean this specifically because of the fact that there was a six-month subscription thing, I think a lot of people, okay, and I'll give you this because you said, you know, maybe the 6 months isn't enough to exhaust yourself of this stuff. Let's say another six-month subscription. So let's say a year, right? Within a year or so, from this WrestleMania to next, there is enough time to basically exhaust yourself of all the past wrestling shit you've wanted to see. To the
yes.
point where
yes.
you may not need to renew again unless the current product is compelling you.
Right.
And if a year from now your subscribers' numbers stop growing but are actually dropping and you're still only hovering around that million thing that was your guarantee, not your hope when you started, you're in a lot of shit financially.
Also,
so
we would like to mention, I also want to add something, but before I even add it, I would like to mention that the current guarantee was 1 million. The actual projected number now is closer to 1.3 to 1.4. So they basically need to double their subscribers.
After they've already
right
busted out all
yeah.
of their shit. The only card they have left up their sleeve is international shit. And apparently, from what I've been hearing from some people, that 1.3
yes.
million was not an international inclusive number.
No. No.
That was a...
No.
So if you start busting in the international market, people are going to be hoping for nearly 2 million. Or at the very least, even including the international market, even including that, you know, you have an American-centered, North American-centered business, right? You
right.
can't anticipate, let's say, rounding up to 700,000, another 700,000, where let's just average, and let's I'm being generous, let's say 500,000 new people come in. That's 1.2 million. But now you're working with the logic that every single one of those old people has renewed, and not everyone's going to renew.
No,
so
no, no.
You're going to be
yeah.
hovering around your original guarantee, which is a huge problem for the stock.
Yeah, no, they definitely, they need to, I feel as if, to really, and it sucks to say this because as a person who doesn't like ads, right, I have to now turn around and say they need more ads. You know, I wish we had more
okay.
time tonight, actually, because here's what they've been doing that's actually cool, yet at the same point, illogical. I mean, the Spock inside me wants to just rip off this mat suit and just destroy the WWE with my anger, because Spock can feel anger in the movies now. Anyway, so here's the thing, right? Okay, whenever I know you haven't really been seeing much of the network live, but let's say you're watching something live, right? Let's say you're watching ECW, right? It's 2 in the morning,
right.
You're watching ECW, it ends. They have a gap. They have a 10 to 15 minute gap at the time because they don't really air ads during the show. Unless maybe they were imprinted in the original, like Monday Night Raw, where they'll, you know, have like ads based on the, you know, the gear at the time with like Bret Hart, right? Or even freaking ads regarding, you know, Saturday morning, you know, stuff or whatever, or, you know, cereal. But ECW, no ads. What do they do at the end? They don't have ads up, you know, on things like Mountain Dew or whoever's sponsoring them that week. They don't have ads. You know, based on any, they don't even have their own ads usually. I mean, they'll have some of their own ads, obviously. What do they air, though? Not the inbox stuff, not the let's follow a superstar around, not even that, not anymore anyway, not too much of that. They'll air old matches. A cool concept for someone who likes wrestling. I got to see Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair in WCW, a really great match. But the question becomes, now why do I need to see that pay-per-view? Because that was the main event.
Yeah, see,
granted,
that's a big thing. Because
granted, one little thing. WCW had a great mid-card, so you can watch it for that. But again, I just saw the main event. That's actually something that I don't need to see now. That's a very bad business model.
Yeah, it's like, okay, with that specific example, right? Let's say you have 10 or so minutes free.
Yeah.
At this point, you can make a decision. You can roll with this whole logic of I'm going to show old matches and make this a pure WWE network and probably have to bump up your price and I mean that sincerely, to like maybe $12 to $15 a month, which is not completely outlandish. I can understand them bumping it up $12 a month.
Oh,
or
yeah. I'll be just fine with it.
You realize what you're doing. And the subscriber number was not so much to have a pretty number, as much as it is, but also for the money it guaranteed.
Yeah.
So if you can pull in that amount of money, at the very least, you as a company will not be failing. So you may have to start reaching out to the people that normally sponsor you on things like Raw. And that could work in terms of filling in ads, because what you could do is show, let's say, an old Raw with less ads than the original Raw. And still make this a pretty much WWE-centric network because of that.
You know,
it's not the worst thing. You have decisions to make here.
Yes, no, and there really needs to – they just need to add so much more to this, I think, to really – because while I think bumping it up would be great, because even if people are sharing, I think that they wouldn't really – it wouldn't break their bank if they add another $1 to $2 to their little WWE pool. You know,
right.
for the account, which is great because they're paying more money and it's being paid. You know, the argument could be made that subscriptions are still there because there are people who – because I really do believe that there is, it isn't a minority. People are pooling together to do this. I don't think that's a minority, you
mm-hmm.
know?
I'm certain.
I think it's happening. Yeah. I, you know, but anyway, another thing, before we have to wrap up, I would like to say, you know, something that I wonder, you know, if you would think the idea is cool, right? So we see USA, right? We obviously cannot take away from USA by putting Raws on the day of or even streaming them live on the network, right? Because that'll be taking away viewers from USA, obviously. But what if it didn't? What if we somehow managed to find a way to – it's not being streamed to the network as if it's taking away USA views. It's actually being streamed as if it's like streaming to USA's live site, which would give USA views in the long run. Do you see what I'm saying here? Where it isn't saying as
so
if,
you're
okay,
saying stream through USA as the engine.
Yes, into the network, live. If for some reason you can't make it to USA, you have the network on. Like, let's just say, for instance, you know, let's say you are a kid, you're 8, you know, your dad wants to watch TV, whatever it may be, says, son, not happening, go away, you know, but the kid has the network. The kid could watch Monday Night Raw on the WWE Network live at 8 p.m., but it still is USA as an engine, therefore giving them the view.
Mm.
How would you react to that? Do you think that could actually work one
day?
Because
it's possible. Because I am not a tech-savvy lover, like, you know.
Right.
There are options they could do with something like that, or arguably, and this is kind of dangerous territory because it is infringing on your TV rights, but let's say they air SmackDown live.
Yes, no, that actually is infringing, sadly, but it would help because
valuable are these TV rights in this day and age? That's what I want to know, and I don't have the numbers. I don't, and
apparently
I'd love
to find
them.
Valuable because they wanted another rumor. They wanted not really a rumor; it's confirmed, really, that they wanted. They thought they were going to be able to double their current TV rights, and that was also going to help them with the network and with the, you know, people who had stockholders who had faith in the company, and they were not able to double it. They were able to increase it, which everyone should be aware of. Increasing your TV rights is an amazing thing in this economy, you know, with the wrestling and the way everything's going, and the fact that the rights used to be way higher and actually went down. The fact that they increased them is great, but it was nowhere near double. And that's another problem. WWE has really, you know, they've played the role of, you know, oh, we're going to promote ourselves as guys. If you're doing that, do that to your fans and do that to each other. Don't do that to the stockholders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do that internally? Okay. But don't do it to the people who are putting money into your company, because that's a huge problem. But either way, sadly, we're going to have to wrap this up. We may even go a little bit more into the archives, but I would like to say that I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. I'm Matt Marrero, and you are Satish Ram, are you not?
Yes, I am.
He is.
Hope you all
and
have a good night.
We will be
we ranted.
Out. Yeah, and we're still going to rant a little bit more. I mean, we're going to go nuts, maybe. I don't know. You'll have to hear the archives. So, click, eventually. I wonder where the sentence is going to end. But anyway,
it ended, didn't it?
No, it did not end yet. The sentence
end?
Will end soon. No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, fair enough. The sentence did end. Shut up. I'm tired. But no, but the point is, though, is that the network needs to do more to kind of get people in.
Right? Yeah, another thing, by the way, that I didn't even touch on. And I was going to mention when I mentioned, hey, I used the PS3 for the network.
Yes.
The network itself is not perfect. There are issues with the network. One of them being, and I don't know how this comes up on the computer, so you can help me out here. This is where I need your cross-platform help.
Right.
The search feature sucks. Where
it's kind of funny. I haven't
and
done
so
this.
And so is their labeling for the matches, which I know this
labeling
is the thing that bothers you,
sucks.
Too.
Labeling sucks. Search feature does.
Okay, so
here's
for me.
The thing. Also, we're going to end soon. Goodbye, everyone. But let's continue. Shall we?
Yeah, so wherever that cuts off, you know, good night, everyone, for those of you listening live. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, the search feature for the PS3, this is what happens. Let's say I punch in CM Punk, right?
Right.
I'll get, let's say, 10 results. Not only 10 results, but 10 results displayed.
Yeah.
Where, and 5 of them will be cutting to the point in the match where the result is. So it will literally be, for example, CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. I'm baking this out of thin air.
Yeah.
August 2009. The next one will be CM Punk hits the go-to-sleep on Rey Mysterio and secures the pinfall, August 2009. Now, that's an issue with the labeling of the matches because I don't want things spoiled because of the fact that, come on, I'm watching this to enjoy it, you know? Secondly, if you're only – I know that CM Punk has had more than 10 matches on your network, and it's a huge problem when I can only find them that way because I want to sit there and show somebody, like, hey, let me show you some of Shawn Michaels' work. And then when I search him, I only find about 8 things. And that's a huge problem because Shawn has had so many matches, and I don't see the ones
is,
I need.
What I believe is, and I'll say this, I think it's just an error because what happens is, as we mentioned, the labeling, when you, let's say you look at Backlash. I was actually watching Backlash with Ashley. 2004 is the one with Foley versus Randy Orton in the hardcore intercontinental title match, right? Backlash 2004?
I think so.
Let's roll with it. The point is that if you when you click on that pay-per-view and you want to skip to a specific match, you can actually pause it and skip to certain points and you'll see, oh, this is where someone won. However, the match starts. The problem is though is that they'll have 3 points and it won't be as if three points should be down to 2. The 3 points will be Mick Foley versus, Randy Orton. And then the second point is, Randy Orton beats Mick Foley. And then the third point is so-and-so, so-and-so other match, right? It should be 2 points. Here's the match. Here's the next match. And that's that. There should be no reason to skip to when someone wins.
Make the label the end of the match without spoiling the result.
Exactly. And I think what happens is...
Literally, end of, match.
Yes. And I think it's a glitch because what happens is that since that is it's there as a label when you're going through a pay-per-view, just scrolling through it, while you have it paused. What I think happens is it uses that in the search as well. And that's why I say it's a glitch because no one should have thought that was a good idea.
Right. Especially if I'm searching for CM Punk, I don't want 2 of my limited results to be the same match.
Yeah, exactly. So I assume that is a glitch on their end. Because, again, I don't think someone sat there and thought, good job there, John. Good job there, Bob.
And if that is a glitch, right?
Right.
That needs to be fixed because that's really annoying for me that I have to now go up and look up specific pay-per-views.
Yes.
To find
Also, their parental controls need to be fixed immediately because I actually checked. They exist, but I don't know how to find them.
Oh, okay.
Now
so
I'll
please
admit.
Go ahead and talk about that because I haven't touched them at all.
I think I don't even know where they are. I haven't even gone into looking where they are, but what I've seen is that they do exist, right? And you could use them for things like ECW. If your kid is up at 2 in the morning and they shouldn't be seeing ECW, again, why would you even have that? But, hey, it happens, I mean, kids are crazy, Kid will wake up, they'll sneak around, sneak around, and then if they turn on, let's say, the TV, they'll think, oh, darn, I can't watch these shows. Mommy or Daddy blocked them. Well, then I'll put on the network. Oh, hey, I can see ECW.
I don't really believe in parental control stuff, but I'm glad that they have them.
They do. It's just that I can't even find them, which is funny. Where it's just, maybe they're all the way at the bottom, but parental controls, in my opinion, should be right up there with all the other, search, shows, I mean, plaster that thing on your freaking network. Just, hey, if you – it sounds silly when you're watching wrestling and you think about parental control.
Correct.
But it does actually matter, where if the Attitude Era comes up and they're like, you know what, maybe I – because honestly, I do admit, I'm okay with the current product being the way it is towards, you know, trying to be a bit more kid-friendly. Not too much, mind you, but a bit more kid-friendly. I understand that. I even agree with it in a weird way. So I understand if you think, like, okay, my kid's, you know, 8. I might not want them, you know, learning certain things from the Attitude Era and thinking that they're okay. So then you can block it. But at the same – because, hey, everything has a rating on there. Older Raws have a higher rating.
Simply put, I don't believe in parental controls. If you're going to put them on, though, they should be very easily accessible for you to put on.
Yes.
As a parent.
Exactly.
Like, you should be able to find them very quickly and set your password and stuff like that. Because otherwise, then what's the point? I mean, if you have hidden parental controls, that really is against the point of parental controls.
Exactly. And, you know, sadly, we're going to wrap this up. I mean, we have so much more to talk about. But, hey, we're going to do this next week. Because why the hell not, right? Good rumors. Good talk.
Yeah, rumors always. Right. And as we inch closer to the pay-per-view, more and more stuff comes to the front where we can talk about it.
Most definitely, you know. But yeah, I mean, as I said before, thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely like us on Facebook. The URL is Those Guys on the Radio. If you're searching us up in the search bar, just search up Those Guys. You know, we post about our shows every single day. We usually do a show almost about every single day. And we do a variety of topics. I mean, tomorrow we're doing our Monday Night Raw show at 11:30 p.m. right after Monday Night Raw ends.
Yeah, that's one of our constants, by the way. You can always catch us talking about Monday Night Raw.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, and of course, you have me as well as, you know, one of our guest co-hosts coming on to do Dragon Ball Z podcast based on the Dragon Ball Z films. Usually, while the dates vary, you'll get the dates on our, you know, on our Facebook page, though. You will see that we also do This Week in Comics, which is done with our guest co-host, Anthony San Andres, where we always talk about, you know, certain comics that came out this week, who, by the way, has an amazing Instagram called Geeks for Life blog, Geeks, the number 4, Life blog, where he does custom figurines. He'll take your figurines, whatever, or his, you know, whatever they may be, and he'll actually customize them, paint them, and just, you know, change them around to, let's say, a different version. Like, let's say, speaking of WWE, let's say you look at a figure of Triple H, right? And you think, oh, he looks cool. You know, oh, this looks cool. His hair kind of looks like Adam Rose in this pic for some reason. All right, I mean, whatever, you know, in this figure. But there's no Adam Rose figure yet. Anthony can actually make an Adam Rose figure out of that for you. And he'll even do kit bashing, which means that he'll have, let's say, microphones or, you know, like even a lollipop, you know, freaking little tiny, you know, toy from like other figure sets. And he'll make you an Adam Rose toy. You know, based on painting and this, you know, this idea of kit bashing. It's very interesting. And if you send him your requests on his Instagram, Geeks for Life blog, you know, he'll actually, you know, make a figure for you for a price. And you can see the figures he's made on there. He made a few different ones, and he's very talented. But yeah, and that's
all
the time
that we
have today.
There's still a lot of topics Matt hasn't touched on that we're going to talk about as life goes on. I mean, as more information comes out about the Pokemon releases, you can definitely expect us to talk about that with the new Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire set to come out this November 21st, actually, here in the U.S. And that's just one thing. You know, E3 just happened. If you have something you'd like us to talk about, let us know on the Facebook page. Always the best way to research.
Also, email us as well.
Mm-hmm. ThoseGuysOnTheRadio@gmail.com for any advertising opportunities. We can gladly promote any products related to what you're doing here. I mean, I guess we could start promoting dildos or something. But if you, you know, have a wrestling, art, anything like that that you want us to promote, we would gladly love to collaborate with you.
I mean, the dildos are fine, too, I guess. I'm not really – I mean, it depends on how much you want to pay us.
WWE costs us every week.
Yeah, right? Just bends us right up. Depending on how much money, I mean, yeah, I would go for that, you know. I
probably
that.
Would, too. We're horse.
We really are. But yeah, I mean, you know, good stuff. Good stuff. Am I right? So speaking of horse, no, that's an awkward segue.
We're not talking about me anymore. Come on.
No, you know. But either way, again – thank you guys for listening. And, yeah, I mean, just, you know, keep on listening.
All right, take it easy.
You think you know me?
Speaking of course, I don't know.